2-1-0.
Mira, y'all, this is Natasha with Norteño T10. Now on Latina Podcasters Network. All right, 2-1-0. Hey guys, it's Natasha with Norteño T10 Podcast. Thank you to VodPod Media for housing and producing, and to Latina Podcast Network for allowing me to be on your network. Guys, if you are watching this, go listen. And if you're listening, go watch, because you're going to want to see who I have. I promise you. So speaking of, please introduce yourself.
What's up, 2-1-0? It's your boy Chingo Bling, the Ghetto Vaquero.
Hey.
I'm in the city.
Hey. And you're on my podcast.
Yeah, we're here. Yes. Heck yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, turning up. I got some caffeine.
Hell yeah.
I got up nice and early. This is my second serving of caffeine. Drove in the rain.
Oh.
So it's been a great day. Yeah. Dropped off the kids at school.
Yeah, bye kids.
Yeah, we had some ceviche today. We just working.
Ooh. You know? Yeah. Ceviche from where? Here?
El Remedio. Fire.
It's my shit. I love them.
Fire. Awesome. And I'll be back next weekend, so I'm gonna be there a couple times.
Yes. So you'll be back next weekend for
October 12th through the 15th.
Yeah.
Comedy.
Yes, at LOL, right?
Yeah, at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club.
Taking over.
You ever been there before?
I've been there many times.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a lot of comedian friends.
Oh, okay.
So
I
always go and support, show love.
Word. Yeah. So you know Chona E, right?
I do. She's a friend of mine.
Cool. Yeah, I got to work with her recently.
Yeah.
Saw Padre Island. She killed it.
Yes. Yeah. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Fucking love her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her and then Michelle Cantu, they're in Chicago right now.
Okay.
For, I think, Latin comedy.
Something.
Something or other. Yeah, yeah. But she'll be at LOL, I think, at the end of the month.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. We're just crossing paths.
I know. Yeah. Who's opening for you?
We have Javi Luna. I have another gentleman that's going to do a guest spot, Daniel Guerrero. He's from Houston, up and coming. My boy Juan Perez, he's from out here. So we'll have some surprises as well.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's going to be lit. Six shows, San Antonio.
Six.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, so you have to sell it out.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah, we want to, like, set a record. And, yeah. You know, so I love it out here. This is really, like, where my whole Chingo Bling thing started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about your origin story.
Yeah, the origin.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you know, a kid from Houston, and I ended up going to college here in San Antonio, and I managed to get on college radio out of Trinity University, and I had been already networking with some people in the local rap scene, different artists and labels, and just independent people. I started, like, kicking it at the flea market, slanging mixtapes, and I was more like a DJ doing the house parties on campus.
Yeah.
And long story short, when I had my college radio show, that's when I started, like, throwing in the Chingo Bling persona. Like, man, my primo's here. He's going to want to get on the mic. All right, look, after these after these messages, we'll be right back in the mix. And then it's like people calling, like, man, where your cousin Chingo Bling at? Like, man, he'll be right here. So long story short, like, San Antonio is where, like, Chingo Bling was born, where I just dove into the game. I had my pinky toe in the show business game. And that's when I first had to kind of get out of my shell. Whether I was DJing a party, like, I had to get on the mic. And I was, like, super shy at first.
What?
Yeah, because I tell my friend, like, nah, man, you say something. You know, you're like, dude, where the ladies at? Or whatever.
Yeah.
But little by little, this is where it started. So this is where the dream began.
Man, that's awesome. And now, so how many years has it been now?
Oh, man. Show business, about 20 years.
That's wild.
Yeah, stand-up comedy, 9 years. I just made 9 years
of
stand-up.
Okay, congratulations.
So thank you. And I trip out because that's damn near half my career. Like, it's already like half my career almost, give or take, is stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already approaching to where I'm going to be doing stand-up longer than I was doing all my other stuff.
Dang. Yeah.
So it's cool.
What are some of the cooler things that you've done, or like the coolest thing, or people you've worked with?
Allow me to name drop a little bit. shout out to the homie Pitbull.
Yeah, hey.
Man, I got a lot of like famous homies.
Yeah.
And then I make new friends, you know, all the time. Like, I just got to kick it with a big boy from Big Boy's Neighborhood. I had met him. He had interviewed me before,
mm-hmm.
but like this was like a whole weekend of just like Like, we're in the car together. We're riding to the fight, to the Canelo fight. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, nice.
We're having to, you know, we're working. We're backstage. We're doing the comedy thing. We're kicking it off the stage.
Yeah.
Getting something to eat, all that. So you're just, like, learning, peeping game from the big homies. But, like, I mean, I've worked with, like, a lot of actor people. Gina Rodriguez.
Oh, I love her.
I was in a movie with her. I mean, I could be here all day. Like,
yeah.
It's that Lou Diamond Phillips. He gave me props. He was also in that movie, Philly Brown. But, like, of course, man, me and Baby Bash go way back. Like, yeah. Before he blew up all the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been a cool, fun journey.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're having kids, right? Because we talked about you having kids. Mm-hmm. How do they feel about the life? How are they incorporated? Or do you not? Do you keep that separate?
Good question. I definitely talk about my family life because it's just relatable.
Yeah.
And it's some funny stuff I got. But like they're all about it. Like my 15-year-old, she's all into her acting classes.
Really?
Yeah. I'll check up on her. Hey babe, what do you know? I'm doing this little photo shoot for this, you know, Quinceañera boutique or whatever. Like okay. She's got her little hustle. Like she's like, I'm trying to get signed by this agent. And like, she's really disciplined about like, going to her acting classes and all that. So I was like, okay, this is something you're clearly doing on your own. Like, she's into dance and all that.
Yeah.
Likes to bake. You know, they're just normal kids. My five-year-old, she's a character. She's a little silly.
Yeah.
She thinks she's a little comedian. So
okay.
She has a YouTube channel.
What?
Like, yeah. Like, she's like, Dad, I want to make a video. Like, why haven't you uploaded it? Like, who's going to edit? Like, she'll be like, give me the phone. She has all these ideas.
Yeah.
Like, there was one where she wanted us to play the song by Dolly Parton, Jolene, Jolene. And she's on her little, like, her little unicorn toy.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's kind of hard to explain, but every time the kids pedal, like, it moves.
Yes.
So it looks like it's galloping.
Yeah.
They sound like the Pulga,
yeah.
Like Trader's Village, Poteet.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, put the song on. And she had her little sombrero. And she's, like, trying to make a movie trailer.
What?
And then my two-year-old, she's still, like, really little, but... But it's like they get it. Like my five-year-old, she's like, what's up, guys? It's your girl Penny. Welcome back to the channel. And then she'd be like, oh, yeah, this is my dad. You probably heard of him, Chingo Bling.
Aww.
And she'll, like, say stuff.
Yeah.
But from the time they were little, they'll pick up a flyer and see their dad's face.
Yeah.
And, like, for the longest, I didn't know people were going to be able to recognize me outside of a cowboy hat and boots and a grill. Like, I thought that once I took all that off, I could blend in.
Yeah.
But my 15-year-old, when she was little, like, she was barely could talk, and she picked up the flyer. She's like, Dad, 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 Dad. And I was like, oh, damn. Now, obviously, like, I've dressed all kind of ways,
yeah.
And people are like, hey, man, are you, you know,
what's
I
it
can't
like?
Hide anymore.
Yeah, what's it like when you're, like, out? Do you like people to approach you? Just so people out there can know, too.
That's a great question. I have a weird personality, like, because I'm kind of shy in real life, so it might be hard to read me.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, man, this fool don't look like he want to take no pictures. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just kind of there quiet because I don't like to do too much. Be like, what's up? It's me. I know y'all. I don't like to walk in places what's up, everybody at the car show? I know y'all know who this is. Like, I don't want to be like announcing myself.
Yeah.
But the minute you come say what's up, man? Yeah, thank you. Like at the airport. But I was taking notes from Big Boy. And Big Boy, he says, I run to the love. I don't run from it.
Okay.
And just watching how he, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like, damn, I need to be more like that. Which is like, by him not even saying nothing, he's kind of letting you know, like, feel free to approach me. Like, I'm here. Like, hell yeah. He didn't tell nobody no. From the time he was trying to eat, coming out an elevator, like, walking to the car, trying to leave the Canelo fight, like, no matter where, yes, absolutely. And we're all like, all right, man, well, I mean, the car's running. You know what I'm saying?
Ready or what? Yeah. Yeah.
But I got to be more like him, you know. So, yeah. But please say what's up.
Like, okay.
I'll chew your ear off. It'll be hard for you to tell me bye after that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to talking at an airport or something. They'll be like, all right, fool. Well, I just wanted a picture, bro. Yahweh.
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah. Yahweh.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good to know. I'm always cautious with people when I see them out, like, in the wild. Because I'm like, oh. Because I get it. Like, people want privacy sometimes. So like you said, like it's hard to, I guess, like read it or read a person.
Yeah. And I'm from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
I'm bad about knowing how to break the ice with somebody. Like, for example, Michael Blackson, he was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him that day checking in at the hotel. And I'm just like, man, that's Michael Blackson. Like, I'm on the lineup. And, like, I want to say, what's up, bro? Yeah. In my head, I'm like, what's up, bro? You ready for the night? And I'm like, nah, don't say that. You know what I mean? Or, like, mm-hmm. the Mexican rappers that walked Canelo into the ring. We were about to walk in, and they were getting, like, dropped off or whatever. Santa Fe Clan and Tornillo. And I was like, oh, that's them dudes from Mexico. And I'm just like, damn, well, what am I going to say? And so it ended up being like, hey, man, my name's Chingo Bling. I'm from Houston.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And I'm like, all right. I ain't getting no picture, nothing.
Dang.
I don't know. Just sometimes you just, same thing. Like, you don't really know. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's all how you approach people, too.
Yeah.
Like, have you had, like, any crazy fans?
I had one dude in Vegas where, well, this is a lot of crazies, but I'll give you this one example. Where this dude in Vegas, like, the fight had finished, we're outside of the T-Mobile Arena, like, all the Canelo fans, all the boxing fans are leaving, and there's a group of people, and some of them are like, oh, what's up, hey, what's up, Chingo Bling, whatever, they're showing love, but one of them is like, yo, this guy, bro, this dude, he was excited, but he's like, dude, this guy's the biggest Canelo hater. Oh my God, this guy right here, he's such a big, oh my God, this guy, Canelo hater. And I was just like, bro, I don't like being called a hater three, four, five times in a row.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know you, and you clearly don't understand the type of humor I do. Like, you don't understand my skits, because it's not a hate at all. It's the opposite, contrary. And, but he just kept saying that, and I was just like, that's how you took it. Like, my wife was kind of like, bro, like telling me, like, calm down. And it's like, no, I'm not getting crunk. I'm just letting him know I'm not a hater. That's how you interpret it.
Yeah.
And I think he was just excited and didn't know how his words were being received. and then he was like, hey, man, can you do me a video shout out for my friend? He's the one that sends me all the videos of you when you talking mess about Canelo. And I'm like,
what the hell?
I'm like, no, I'm not doing no video shout out, bro. You just call me a hater, and now you're telling me I'm talking mess. And I was like, you just don't get it, bro.
Yeah.
And I was sober. So can you imagine if I was like,
shit,
had a little something in my system?
Yeah, you'd have been like, what's up? Yeah.
I've been just maybe a little bit more crunk.
Yeah.
No, estás pendejo.
Yeah. Dang. Okay, so don't do that. Yeah. For anybody, don't do that.
It's like, bro, like, don't call nobody a hater. Like, I take pride in not having no hate in my blood. And my wife's like, calm down, you overreacting just because you say it. I'm like,
but that's annoying.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Just don't be weird.
Yeah.
Easy ish.
Just chill, you know?
Yeah. So, are there any places that you maybe haven't been or haven't headlined that you would like to?
Ooh, great question. A city that I want to go to. Obviously Michigan. I've been kind of neglecting Michigan. All my Northwest, like my Midwest people. You know, Minneapolis. I want to hit up Minneapolis, Indianapolis, all the Appalachians.
All the Appalachians.
Indianapolis. I mean, I haven't been in New York in a long time. Well, New York's kind of crazy right now, but there's a lot. I haven't been to DC in a couple years. DC's kind of crazy too. I haven't done Atlanta in a couple years, because sometimes you got to fall back on some cities.
You know? Why
is that? Just because you don't want to get played out, burnt out, or like, you feel like, okay, well, I didn't sell it out this time, so I got to make sure when I come back, like, y'all really miss me, you know.
Or
you just got to just come back full force.
Yeah. Okay. So what's been the hardest part of, like, your journey? Is it the acting? Is it the comedy? The persona?
Whatever? Man, that's a lot of good questions.
thank you.
I mean, because, you know, it makes me think. Because there are a lot of rough spots, because people try to always portray, like, everything's edited and I got a filter and, you know what I'm saying, hit the canas, you know what I mean, cover the canas up and everything is always polished. You know, people don't want to be human. And also, you don't want to tell everybody all your problems. Like, oh, well, this is rough.
True.
But just a couple random things. It was like when I when I was strictly just known as just a rapper, mm-hmm. and like wasn't known as like, was he kind of a social media guy? Or wait, this is comedy too. Wait, this he did the little acting thing.
Yeah.
Like I hadn't really expanded to show all the different things I could be. So I definitely felt boxed in. Like it could get very frustrating mm-hmm. when like, I mean, to this day, people, you'll have the cowboy hat on. They're like, oh, where's the boots? Oh, you got the boots on. They're like, where's the rooster? I'm like, bro, the rooster died, bro. Oh. Like, oh, where's the tamales? I'm like, bro, it ain't even October. Like, you don't even have tamales in June. So I think that falls under the category of like the frustration of an artist. Like when you know you have all these different ingredients and flavors and things you want to. You're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Like I've even done dramatic stuff. Like I even did like a short film that won like some awards at festivals, but like it wasn't funny at all.
Yeah.
You know, so I was having to be kind of dark. So just being able to show my range, sometimes that could get frustrating where like people just try to put you in a box. Mm. Like, oh yeah, you just do parodies, or like, oh, you're the mixtape guy.
Yeah.
You know,
I could see how that would be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I kind of deal with that here in a way. And I don't know if it's like an internal thing, but because I do so many things mm-hmm. and people are like, what, like either they're like, what do you not
they don't
do?
Get it. Yeah.
Or they're like, why yeah. do you do so many things?
Why
don't you just do one thing? I'm like, well, why would I just do one thing? I feel like we're versatile as people, so we should be able to do multiple things and be good at multiple things, right? Like you're, mm-hmm. you know, a good actor, a good singer, a good, you know, all of that, comedian. So, and it, you know.
Well, some people don't see the vision, and sometimes yeah. you got to just put your head down. Like head down, prayers up, just get to work, be consistent, work your plan, execute, stay focused, stay on the path, stay prayed up. You know what I mean? You stay with your faith. Like yeah. you're rolling with the punches. You're going to fall off, but you got to get back on it. And you focus on this so much. This fell to the wayside. And you're trying to spin all these plates and put the team together and mm-hmm. everything to where you almost have to like do it and then show people and like prove.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, when I started doing the transition to stand-up comedy, people didn't really know how to take it because, for one, I didn't really want to put it out there like that in the beginning because mm-hmm. it's like, yo, I'm still learning. Like,
yeah,
don't tell me. Like, I would go to the open mics, like, the amateur night
mm-hmm.
with a name, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. people recognizing you and you're over there saying, like, hey, man, just bring me up as Pete, you know, Pete Herrera. Don't say Chingo Bling, and they'll yeah. be like, all right, hey man, you might know him from the music, man. Chingo Bling, he trying something different for y'all. True Damn. Story, that happened.
Thanks.
And yeah, please don't do me no more favors. But so yeah, like a lot of the comedians didn't know how to take it because some people got threatened where it's like, yo, I've been doing this, I've been putting in the time, I'm out here trying to do my thing, and now you want to switch lanes and swerve all up over here trying to take up, because sometimes people have that scarcity mentality where like they feel like there's only so many resources in a market, or like, yo, I'm trying to make a name for myself in San Antonio, and there's only but so many clubs, and there's only but so many comedians, and now here you come, you know. So sometimes, you know, people get threatened.
Do you think that was a hindrance or a help as far as your comedy career? Like people are like, oh no, he has to be good at this. Was that like a lot of pressure for you?
No, I mean, I don't think everybody assumed I was going to be good at it. It probably depends on who you ask. I try not to focus on it too much.
Yeah.
For it to even be a hindrance. Like I had to ignore what other comedians had to say, or like things you hear in the rumors, or yeah. there's a clique, and you know, this manager at this club, you know, supposedly he said this or whatever. Like, you just gotta, like, especially when you've been at it as long as I have, when you gotta roll with the punches, you see people come and go, you see radio stations come and go, mm-hmm. you see artists come and go, you see record labels come and go, you see different trends, different movements, different seasons, to where like you just gotta almost like outlast mm-hmm. and survive, like just keep it going as that trend subsides. You know, especially like in show business, I remember there was an era in rap where like there were certain blogs you had to get on. It was like blog rappers, like websites that the kids were going to, and that's where they discovered ASAP Rocky, or like that's where this person, and you know, some of them got bigger, some stayed the same, some disappeared, some faded.
Yeah.
So there's always different eras, and you just got to kind of, I think with me, what I try to do is like literally create and carve my own little lane, my own little chingo verse.
Yeah.
The chingo verse where like when you enter my world, you kind of know what flavors and what, you know what I mean? You kind of, my Disneyland, like you kind of, basically like where the fans are like, yo, I know him from this. Or like someone else could say, yeah, well, I know him from this. But at the same time, we could all come together.
Yeah.
That way you're not subject to trends. And it, you know what I mean? You're not stuck with like, oh, well, Houston rap's not popping no more. Okay. Mm. That's what's up.
Yeah.
I'm not limited to that. Like, right. Oh, well, you know, we haven't heard any, you know, or you know, Mexican Americans aren't popping right now. It's like, or whatever the opinion is, it's like, okay, that's cool with my stuff's universal. You know,
yeah.
Or like, there's only so many Mexican fans out there. It's like, okay, well, I got all kind of fans. You know,
why they have to be Mexican? Yeah.
Well, because for the longest, I was just kind of limited, but
yeah,
as of late with stand up, you're getting in front of all these different audiences. And now people kind of like, hey, man, like, man, shit's tight.
Yeah. Have you found that you've had to change either the way that you talk or the way that you act with what's been going on in recent trends with just the way people are taking things, the way people are talking now?
Oh, what you mean by that?
Like a lot of people will say like, oh, everybody's too sensitive now. Or everybody's easily
offended. Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only time... Okay, when you're on social media, they got their little rules. Mm-hmm. So there's certain opinions you got to kind of like find a code word to say it. Or it's not so much that you're going to offend people. It's just that like you're going to get kicked off of YouTube. Like I'm on my second YouTube page.
No way.
Yeah, it was over something else. But when it comes to stand-up comedy, obviously I'm not going out there trying to hurt nobody's feelings or divide people. Mm-hmm. But if I got a funny joke... And, you know, everybody's going to laugh. Like, we got to have freedom of speech. And I never understood why, I never really understood, like, kind of what freedom was. Mm. And it sounds weird because I remember going to Miami in my early rap days when, like, Pitbull was still, like, trying to come up. He might have had Kulo out at the time. But, like, all his homies, like, his DJs, like, a lot of people in his crew, his street team, there's a bunch of young Cuban-American kids, and some of them were, like, born in Cuba, or at least their parents were from Cuba. So they would explain to me, this is way back in, like, let's just say 2003 or something. Mm-hmm. And my mindset or whatever was a lot more limited. And so they would try to explain to me, they'd be like, man... I don't like that politician. I don't like that guy because they're communists. And I was just like, well, what's that? And it's like, bro, that's where we escaped Cuba from, bro. That's, you don't want that. And they would, like, people were wearing Che Guevara shirts. Like, Jay-Z wore a Che Guevara shirt on some album. And a lot of them Cuban homies was like, bro, do you know how disrespectful? Like, those people straight up stole the farmland, kicked our people out, murdered people. Like, if you weren't down with them. And, like, these people were... tyrants and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? It's like, they take away our freedom. And I was like, but how? Like, what's freedom? It's like, bro, literally, you can't say you ain't got no freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. That's just one example alone. And I feel that stand-up comedy is kind of under attack. And I feel like stand-up comedy is very important because it could be called like one of the last frontiers, one of the last bastions of freedom of speech, because mm-hmm. it's almost like our job is to say inappropriate things.
Yeah.
Funny isn't always nice.
True.
You know, things are funny when they're true. And sometimes the truth ain't always what they're allowing you to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion that like, sure, what we do is fun and it's like healing therapy, make people laugh, make people feel good, date night, everyone's just a good vibe. Like that's really what our job is about. But at the same time, we have to try and sometimes find what that line is that you can't cross. Like, oh, you're not allowed to say that because that's considered hate speech or that's problematic speech. They start to label your speech. That's anti this or that's this phobic. Or that phobic and anti that, they start to just label your stuff to where you start to self-censor. Next thing you know, everybody only is allowed to say, now you might as well live in North Korea at that point.
Right. No, yeah. I always tell people, because I love comedy. Love it. But you're right. There's really no filter, and there shouldn't be. So I tell people, you know, if you're going to come to a comedy show, have thick skin. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to sit in front because, like, I don't know, tell me shit. Like, I don't know, whatever. Like, make fun of me or whoever I'm with. Like, I don't take it personally. But in general, like, don't take things personally because it's meant to be comedy. And what fits one might not fit another, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah. Just have fun. Loosen up.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Check out a show. Because I'm glad none of my fans are like that, because my fans, for the most part, are like just honest family people, hardworking people, just mind their business, want to be left alone, want to take their lady out on a nice evening, want to put food on the table, and just want to have a good job to go to. That's about it. You know what I mean? Like, get the car washed on the weekend, hit the ATM before the thing. Like, you just basic, like, man, you just appreciate a good haircut. You know what I mean? Like, you just hardworking people, and you don't have time to trip over. You don't have time to be a little activist, sensitive, triggered person. And I'm glad that if I had any of those people in my fan base, I pretty much got rid of them.
Okay.
Like, I think they kind of got pushed out. Yeah, you know, it's like you being offended over stuff. Okay. Because those are going to be the worst audience members.
True.
Like, you don't want people in there that are just waiting for something to be mad. Objection, next joke, funny.
Yeah.
And it just throws off the whole thing. Like, really, lady?
Yeah. How do you deal with hecklers?
Well, I've been blessed to not really have hecklers. The only thing I get might be people that are really excited. They might be a little drunk, or it's their birthday, or they think they're funny and they want to shout stuff out, or they just think they're having a conversation. Oh, that I know, that's right. And then what? Dang. You know, it's like, and Cleto, where's Cleto? Like, they start shouting out song titles and things. It's like, all right, bro, I'm gonna get to you right now, but check this out, I'm in the middle of a story, bro. You know? And if there's any comedians watching, sometimes you just got to make that choice of, like, I'm not gonna derail my entire show and lose my momentum over here addressing you. Because my boy Javi Luna, he broke this down to me, because he substitute teach from time to time. So he's like, I'm not going to reinforce that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to give you that attention you want. Now you really going to act up.
Yeah, it's true. It's like kids.
You just got to learn that lesson. Yeah, like kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Drunk people are basically toddlers.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes they get drugged out, dragged out like toddlers.
Really?
I mean, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's rare, but I think it was one time in Arlington, at the Arlington Improv.
Uh-huh.
One of the female manager ladies, she had to kind of defend herself. And I'm glad she did.
Wow.
Because this one lady was disrupting the show. She was drunk. And they had to kick her disruptive ass out. Then her mom jumped in. It's long story short, they tried to get a little physical with the manager lady.
Dang.
And she wasn't playing.
Good.
And I made sure to stick up for her and tell her, I'm glad you defended yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure to tell my wife, who's my wifeager, I said, you made sure you tell the club and the management that, like, Chingo is glad she stuck up for herself. Because the last thing I want is for any type of peer pressure to turn into, like, somebody getting in trouble over defending themselves.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to turn into, like, well, they left a bad review. They left a Yelp. And all their families leaving comments saying, you know, punk-ass manager, club people kicking us out. And don't go there. And sometimes when people are in business, they read that stuff. They're just like, oh, man, this is going to hurt the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you for standing up for that.
Yeah. Hopefully they open that email. And I think she's good. She's badass. So.
Okay. Cool. All right, so let's talk about some random stuff.
Okay.
Just random
for
shit.
For sure.
Just
off the cuff.
Stuff. Yeah. All right, aliens, you believe in them?
I used to until the government was like, hey, y'all, don't pay attention to the Epstein flight log. we want to talk to y'all about these aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, come on, bro. We see, like, in my opinion, our country's going through so much stuff that's going to affect our kids and our grandkids, to where it's like, if y'all were serious, y'all would really be like, there's some top priority stuff that we need to really address. But instead, y'all playing around with these monitos. It looked like a little fake E.T., paper mache, piñata. I don't know what it was. Piñata. So I'm very skeptical of when the government starts trying to like, hey, everybody, anytime you hear the government, nine times out of ten, boy, get ready. If they're like, hey, we want everybody's attention. Because that's how the media works. The media doesn't, they don't present you information based on, all right, we're trying to do a good service. This is what's most important to people in the country. We got to make sure that they know these got to be the top stories. No, it don't work like that. Yeah. It's, we got to sell ads. We got to keep them hooked from when we come back from commercial break. Mm-hmm. We can't piss off the sponsors. So don't run that story. That's going to make this company look bad. Don't take that out. Mm-hmm. So now they're kind of pulling your puppet strings because you got to make a profit to pay your people. And then sometimes they'll be like, well, you know what? Hold off on that story till next week, because right now we got to cover the royal wedding, the king and the queen doing this. Or
which doesn't affect us at all.
Yeah. Merkel, whatever, Prince Harry and these people.
Yeah.
And then they'll bust out that story from last week. Mm-hmm. Or when it's a story they don't want you to pay attention to, they'll drop it like, they'll kind of release the little press release like late Friday, like over the weekend. Mm-hmm. That way Monday everybody forgets. Mm-hmm. And now their little scandal went away.
Yeah, I was telling one of my friends, I feel like it was kind of like Pajarito. Like, hey, look, aliens, we have aliens.
Pajarito.
Yeah, there's you're choking. Over here.
Pajarito.
And everyone's all, but this, and they're, yeah. No, look over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
They're like, y'all keep printing too much money. Like,
yeah.
Like, yo, our whole debt, we're paying, I think our country paying $1 trillion just in interest to the debt we have, which mm-hmm. is already passed up our military, our military expenditure. Mm-hmm. Like what we spend on our badass military, we spending more just on interest to loan, like debt.
Yep. But we're still giving money to other countries. You know?
That part.
The math ain't mathing. Make it make sense.
But we want to talk about some aliens.
Yeah. I hope they're cool, though.
If they had said, like, all right, look, y'all, they coming out of Middle Earth. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they'd hit me with some Hollow Earth theory,
yeah.
Or like, yo, there's a lot of old civilizations that's being uncovered.
Yeah.
If they'd hit me with some real stuff, then I'd have been like, okay, well, I'll put a pin in it. I'll come back to that story.
Yeah.
Like, all right, so you saying they flying out the ocean? I mean.
Yeah. Okay, do you think this is so random. Do you think the earth is flat or do you think it's round?
You know what? People make fun of me because.
I don't judge and I don't make
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, thank you but for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, y'all.
Yeah.
And I don't know what platforms this is going on, but.
All of them.
I don't. They're going to try to fact check the hell out of it. And that alone should be a red flag. Like, damn, why y'all so worried about this little theory? All right. I used to be very close-minded to that idea. And a buddy of mine named Eddie Bravo, y'all might have heard of him if y'all into jiu-jitsu. So Eddie Bravo, we did some comedy shows together and we hit it off, and he was like, hey, I'm gonna send you this documentary I'm in. And I was like, okay, bet. And I saw it and it was like, flat earth. I was like, oh. I was like, all right, I'm gonna have to watch it because he might quiz me on it, or he might be like, hey, what'd you think? And I don't want to lie to him. I'm like, this is my friend. So I watched it and I was like, yo. I was like, yo, they making some. I was like, yeah, why is it that? It was so many moments of like, oh, that's right. Or like, oh, that math ain't math. And it was so many things where I was like, bro, I had to tell my wife, like, babe, we got to watch this tonight. Keep an open mind. Don't think I'm crazy. And I have this, a Discord chat room, this Patreon, where we call them the agents of the TIA, the Tamale Intelligence Agency. And it's the folks that like tune into my podcast, and we're on there all day chit chatting. Well, they give me a hard time because every once in a while I'll send them a little something about flat earth. And
and
we got some really smart people on there. So they're like, bro, look, they'll start busting out equations. They're like, bro, physics, and you got to factor this in. I was like, I know, but. Yeah, you know,
but hear
so
me out.
So look into it.
Okay.
I'll just leave y'all with this one little random fact. So apparently, there was a point in time in YouTube's history. It might have, I don't know the exact year. It might have been like 05, 04, 06, where flat Earth searches were starting to really trend. Yes. Like, it started becoming a conversation people were willing to explore, right? It didn't get just so shut down. Mm-hmm. And it started trending. So all of a sudden, I don't know if Google owned YouTube at the time, but those who know, Google's very entrenched with intelligence agencies. But anyway, all of a sudden, Google and YouTube started running mainstream ads. Like, it was like late night talk show where they all of a sudden started propping up Neil deGrasse Tyson or Bill Nye, the science guy. And they started to want to bring up flat earth stuff because they were now ready for you to go search it. So they were like Super Bowl commercials where they're like, Google, you know, it's where you ask what you want to know. And it'd be like, what do I do if I get, you know, gum stuck in my hair? And it's like, is the earth flat? Like, they threw it in there all slick, right? Yeah. And you got to know how persuasion works. So it's like, okay, this is one of the things that got me when I was like, I know how media works. Yeah. I know how persuasion works, mass communication. And I was like, this is an excellent point that the minute they were ready to feed you fake debunked videos, the minute they were set up with their algorithm, which now we all throw that word around, but at the time it was a new thing. Now they start letting you, they're giving you permission, like, oh, hey, Jimmy Fallon, hey, so we're here with Taylor Swift. Do you think the earth is flat? And she's like, oh, I don't know, or whatever. Like, we're here on The View. And they'll just bring it up. Super Bowl commercials. So now, at that point, all the trending videos that people were really following, where they were just like, yo, this guy makes sense. Like, why is it that the old textbooks used to have this? And why is it that up until this year, they switched it to this theory and so on? So then when people would go look, you'd have to dig probably six pages and then you're going to get across a couple of fact checks. So basically they're feeding you basically disinformation. Yeah. And if you weren't paying attention during the lockdowns and everything else, the thing came from the soup and then it came from the lab and they don't know where it came from and all this stuff. And then you haven't been paying attention in terms of like fact checkers and, you know, proven safe and effective, like just these things that they just kind of put out there. And the minute people are like, but is it really? It's like, hey, you can't tweet no more, or you're in timeout. And I know I went through it because I was really running my mouth around that time about the lockdowns. I was pissed that like my work got taken away. Yeah. Comedy clubs were shut down. Yeah. Like, it was just weird. It's like, okay, well, how many days? And it's like, it's just 14 days, you know. But anyway, yeah, I was going to bring up trauma.
Oh shit.
Wow. it was frustrating. Whoa. yeah and I don't want to like bore the listeners with like, ah, he's talking about the lockdowns.
No, I mean, well, so I'm a nurse, and so when everything locked down, I went to New York to go help, and so my lockdown was very different. But yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, it did a lot of things, some good, some bad. A lot of people like left their relationship. A lot of people ended up leaving their job, starting, you know, a whole new
turn a new leaf
business. Uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of people got super depressed. Like,
some people blew up in they just figured out a way, like, oh, I was already set up for this. And here I go. Boom.
Yeah. So, well, okay, we don't have to go into it. Yeah. But I do like to talk to men, especially men that have some sort of influence. About their take on men's mental health.
Okay.
I know it's a little bit deeper, but I'm a huge proponent for mental health. That's my specialty.
Oh, awesome.
It's my doctorate degree. So how do you feel that men's mental health is either being perceived, or have you had any issues with?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think we're making steps in the right direction, where it's at least coming up on platforms like this and in conversation, to where it's not so taboo with like Latino men, like machismo, estás pendejo, I mean, I'm still a proponent of that too, because I think there's a lot of wisdom to that sometimes.
Sure.
But my system and my strategy is, this is what works for me. Keep God first, like prayer. I mean, make some time be good with the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, on Sundays, I gotta bump me some gospel. We're gonna do our best. 9 times out of 10, we're gonna make it to church with all the kids on time. You know, I feel very good giving my daughters, my family, you know, that's good teachings. You know what I mean? Keeping God first, faith, because, you know, Jesus, he could cure you of anything and everything, especially the spirit of depression. Like, I rebuke that demon of negativity. Like, I feel like I saw this trippy video where this old school preacher was basically, I think he meant it literally, and you don't have to take it literally, but he was basically saying a lot of ailments and addictions and things like depression or different things, like, could be demons, like spirits, like azequenta, like you have to like somehow take it out, I guess.
Yeah.
But like you need to like accept the Lord and reject and get it out, figure out a way. So part of my system also is like I just started taking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So I'm a beginner.
Nice.
I'm a white belt. I'm a beginner. And I got four stripes though. Four stripes better than no stripes. And my wife keeps saying, she's like, stop telling people how many how many stripes you have. Please stop telling people how many stripes you have. But it sounds cliche. You know how people are like, man, stand-up comedy saved my life. Or like hip-hop saved my life. It's like, yo, jiu-jitsu, bro. Like the fact that it humbles you, you challenge yourself, you're learning something new, like it's useful, you could pass it on, and you end up being, in my case, you're so exhausted and beat up at the end to where like, you don't have any energy for fussing with your girl. You like fighting, like you ain't got no energy for that. So you just come back. Like I always have a great day after, if I can make it to class and I'm excited. It's like, man, we practiced this thing and we were rolling and I did this one move and it actually worked. And I feel like I'm getting better. And like, and I'm really, my cardio, you know, like you just get these endorphins and,
yeah.
And I think that part of the science of it, of like, you know, what energizes you? How can you be disciplined? That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. Like, shout out to Canelo, because I got to study a lot of Canelo interviews. I got to study Canelo to do them skits I be doing, the voiceovers, right? So I'm really impressed by the fact that through boxing, he found discipline. And he knows that without the discipline, he ain't nothing, and that boxing is life to him, and that boxing made him who he is. And for somebody so young, like, he obviously discovered that young, because he's been boxing, he was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
So it's like, at some point, either he was 18, maybe he was 20, where it hit him like, I love doing this. This is who I am. This is what I do. It just makes me a better person.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend like physical activity. Obviously, exercise is going to give you endorphins, all those things. Obviously, you know, if you could find a supportive, like loving relationship, somebody to build your life with, somebody help you create a family, that's always such a good thing, because you might be going through a dark spot. You might be starting to doubt yourself, or you fall off, or you pick up habits, and or you have an addiction, or like something, you have an illness, you can't work, you're going through some stuff. And if you got a ride or die that's gonna like be your support system, then like gotta have that for your mental health, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And a partner is great, but sometimes people can't find a partner. So anybody, like a best friend, a family.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. That's, yeah.
But yeah, but of course, ride or die is.
But if you're looking for somebody and you go to church and you got a hobby, like you go to jiu-jitsu or you're disciplined, like you're just on your stuff and you praying on it. I don't want to sound cheesy, but like the Lord is going to look out. The Lord's going to look out if you have that system of like if you know somebody is single, if you have that system of like, okay, what are you doing to meet somebody? Well, look, I go to the Bible study, you know what I mean? That's always a good place, you know, like, man, I joined the self-defense place and I'm making some friends there. And like, for example, I have nothing but daughters. So when they want to decide to start, when they're older and they want to start dating or getting serious or have a boyfriend or be engaged, and you know, I wish I could do an arranged marriage, because with my wisdom, it's like, nah, look, obviously we don't live like that, but like, what's gonna impress me, like as a dad, it's like, man, if you bring me a young man that, like, you know, good heart, good intentions, keeps God first. Like, oh, that's a bone. That's going to be a bonus. If he does jujitsu, you know what I mean? Something like that. Even better, because I just know the type of people I meet in those spaces. Like, I've never really met no jerk in jujitsu. Like, everybody's very supportive and cool. Maybe I just go to like a good gym.
Yeah, maybe.
Shout out to Urban Jungle Houston, which is like family run, family operated. Yeah. So like, ain't no time for no gossip. We in here learning, bro. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's true. I think a lot of it, if you're very disciplined and you kind of tunnel vision with like
your goals, attract
what you want to do, that you attract the people that you, the energy you're putting out is what you're going to get back. Mm-hmm. But also you're right. Like, you have this focused mentality where like, honey, like, miss me with that shit. Like, don't come at me with gossip. Don't come at me talking mm-hmm. about whatever. Like, I'm on this, like I'm on this path, you know, and don't let anything deviate you from that.
Yeah. So like, you're going to attract that kind of person mm-hmm. because there's a lot of good dudes out there. There's a lot of like single dudes that are just like, same thing you just said. Hold on a second. Speaking of good dudes, that's single. Oh, okay. Oh. Like, see, Juan could co-sign this. Juan Perez could co-sign. Like, there's a lot of good dudes out there that are, I was one. Like, I literally prayed for my wife. Like I was just like, Lord Jesus, I don't know what I did wrong. Like, obviously, I had a lot of growing up to do.
Yeah.
Like, we've been together 9 years. I obviously had a lot of, by the time we crossed paths, I obviously had to, like, be my best. Like, man, I got a good girl. I can't lose this. And especially when, you know, you single for a couple of years and you trying to figure it out and everything, then yeah, you'll get to praying. So yeah, I was like, Lord Jesus, please just send me. I mean, I just need a good girl. I mean, just send me somebody. You know, I know I was out there, you know, or whatever. Like, you know, or like my ego. Like, I was Mr. Rapper guy chasing the career, always trying to like, we're making moves, we out here, you know what I mean? Like, you focus on a bunch of clout and ego and superficial stuff, and it's like, man, I just want a good woman. We know what I mean? We could just eat a grilled cheese and watch TV.
No, it's true. It's the little things in life.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's not just men too. Like, there's a lot of women too that it does become this ego thing, or they're like, oh, I've been hurt so many times, like, I'm just going to always have my guard up, and I'm not going to let people in, and I'm, you know, I'm going to keep people at like a distance.
That's called blocking your blessings.
Literally. Cause I'm like, stop. And I've had this conversation with my male friends and my female friends that are single. Like, just be you, genuinely, authentically you, and like tell people who you are from the beginning. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't play games. Don't hide it. You know, like, just be you. And again, you'll attract people like you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree 1,000%.
I'm glad you found your wife.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And we get on each other's nerves.
Of course.
And guess what? Yeah. We just went to Vegas for that weekend. I had a show. We went to the Canelo fight. And even though we were like working the first day and the second day, we didn't do a whole lot. Just went to a car show and a fight, which is still like a lot. But we were just like, man, that was a really good weekend. Just, I mean, we got to sleep in, you know what I mean? It was just like us hanging out, almost like kind of like the good old days.
Yeah.
But speaking of blocking your blessings, I think that is a common mistake, especially with women, because the dynamics of today's modern day society, the way the devil operates with a whole bunch of lies and chaos and disorder and all up in the women's ear saying like, you don't need no man. You ain't got to trust him. You ain't got to follow his lead all the time. Like, especially like, you know, attractive women too, sometimes maybe more so, because it's like, now you don't know who's a snake, a F-boy, you know what I mean? Who's just trying to a little fun, little time for a little while. You don't know who's serious, because you're getting hit up and somebody's in a DM. You're like, well, I'm not into the DM type of conversation. And then, you know, and it's kind of like, well, where the hell do I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost,
I mean, it's true. I'm like, I'm super independent, right? But of course it's nice to have like a partner.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, yes, be independent, but don't be like so guarded.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, oh, don't talk.
Well, you just literally want to do all by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we know you can.
Yes, but, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But it's okay to let people in.
Mm-hmm.
Good
mm-hmm.
people. But it is hard to find good people. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've learned just through life. Mm-hmm. But especially being around a lot of like people and like networking and, you know, marketing and businesses and things like that. Like, I'm just like, oh, like, can I trust you?
You know what? I don't know. I feel like, because everybody evolves and grows. So like when I first met my girl, like I wasn't Mr. Bible study. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I slowly was like, you know what? I'm ready. Like, I want to go to church. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. she was like looking to go back. She grew up in the church. So she was kind of like, hey, I kind of like was away for a little bit and I kind of want to go back. You don't have to join me if you don't want to. And I was like receptive. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I've been needing that. I want to. So what I was going to say is, like, to the ladies out there, when you're trying not to be so guarded, I'm like Andrew Tate up in here. I'm going to give y'all the game. About to give y'all the game. I'm going to get like, Chingo Bling, thank you. I used to be single.
Now, oh, my God.
No, like when you're in the process of being guarded and trying to figure out who you're going to like entertain, like let in a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you could have like a few set basic parameters of like, it's kind of a tricky one because, you know, you don't want to set your parameters and like, oh, well, he's not into fitness like I am. Therefore, I don't even want to. It's like, he might want to get into it.
Right.
Or let's just say church is a big thing for you. It's like, well, invite them. And then that's going to start to weed them out. Mm-hmm. The ones that's really serious about you and they willing to go on a Wednesday night, or they willing to, you know, you just see what people's priorities are. And that's going to weed out a lot of stuff, in my opinion.
Now, any advice for men out there, the ones that are also guarded, like how did they?
All my young kings out there.
Yes.
Stay like, vigilant.
Yes. But like how would you tell
man,
them?
These fools ain't guarded. Nah.
They're playing games then because.
Yeah, no, some are. Something. Some are very, like, I got a buddy who's just so hyper focused where it's borderline guarded. Where it's like, man, I'm focused right now. It's like, I know, bro, but at some point, you know what I mean?
Yeah, eventually.
So let me see if I had try to picture anybody. Describe this, like, what do you mean? Give me an example. Like, they work somewhere, they're single, they're into what?
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of, like, any of my friends.
Or, like what age group, or, like, are they divorced?
Well, at this point, yeah, I feel like everybody's kind of divorced right now. But, like, or in some shit. But, like, mm-hmm. 30s?
Okay.
Like, well, because I feel like in your 20s, you're still learning, right? Mm-hmm. In your 30s is where you're like, you know what, I think I want to settle down. 30s, 40s mm-hmm. range.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody who's like, oh, you know, I got my kids, I got an ex-wife, I got a baby mama,
child
support. Whatever. Yeah, I don't want to deal with any like BS. Mm-hmm. I don't want women to bring any drama to my life. But like, there are good women out there. Just like there are good men, there are good women.
Absolutely.
So like, how, I guess, like, what would you have to say to those men that are just like, oh, just whatever. Like, I'll play games, or I'll get what I want out of that relationship or situationship, and then I'm out.
Situationship.
Yeah.
New vocabulary. Man, that's a tough question because, like, I hadn't really gotten to stand-up comedy yet. I was in this purgatory. I was, like, in between rap career and comedy career. I was on the bridge of, like, I'm taking a couple DJ gigs and I'm doing my merch thing and I'll do some appearances, but I'm not Mr. Car Show right now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard for me to just say, for me to, like, preach. But I think, like, if you, for a fact, envision yourself, almost like a vision board.
Okay.
Like, almost like envision your future self that's going to, like, be able to whoop your present day's ass. Like, like my little young version of me,
yeah,
I whoop his ass. He'd probably get on my nerves. Yeah. Like, if I had a time machine, and if I saw half the stuff I did when I was like 22, like, if I'm the ghost of Christmas future, I'll just be like, bro, get down from me. You don't need to be like, hey, stop. Don't give him any more drinks. You know, it's like, hey, don't pass him that. You don't know where he lives. You're smoking the same thing. What's in that? Uh-huh. You know, like, I'd turn into what my big sisters were. But anyway, to answer your question, I would say figure out your vision of who you want to become. Like, just kind of close your eyes and just pray on it and picture, like, well, I kind of want to man, I kind of want to toughen up, and I kind of picture myself with, like, you know, you might picture yourself like, man, I just picture like a badass beard, and, you know, whatever tattoos you want to have in the future, picture that, like, picture your house, your apartment, you know, do you have a pet, do you not, and then picture who's going to fit into that, like, if you like to travel, you know what I'm saying, like, somebody that's going to fit into that vision, like, do you want to be at peace, do you want joy, do you want happiness, you want to be a better son, a better dad, a better husband, if that's really the priority, then you almost got to figure out, almost like, you know how oil and water don't mix, it's like, if you're so focused on that, these hoes finna be oil, you know what I'm saying, because if you're focused on, like, nah, bro, I want to live a healthy life. I don't want to have diabetes. Like, I need to make sure that, like I know what makes me happy. Like, I got to make it to jiu-jitsu class. You know what I mean? Like, those basic things, like, I love my music, or I love my hobby, whatever it is. Then see who can, what's the word?
Like, elevate that.
Yeah, harmonize with, accentuate, like, support and fit in. I don't know what the word is. There's like another word besides elevate.
But I'm trying to think. Because I know, like, I always say, someone, like, another person, your partner, shouldn't completely, like, complete you. You should be a complete person. They should complement you.
That's the word.
And your life.
That's the word, compliment. Yeah. So, like, focus on that vision of, like, look, like, I'll give you an example. Especially in the rap game and, like, with rappers and that whole image, there's a lot of ego and there's a lot of materialism, whatever.
Yeah.
Where people think that, well, if I don't take this extravagant trip every year, I'm not gonna be happy. You know what I mean? When really I came to the point where I realized, like, man, I don't really take a whole lot to make me happy, to be honest. Like, people might think, like, oh, man, but you're here and you get to go there and you met this person, you over here, you perform here. It's like, I know, but you know what really stood out? It's like, you know, did I have my coffee that morning? Like, did I find a cool little coffee shop? I had me some little coffee, you know, maybe you hit some little weed or something throughout the day. You know, you were the cool people. You might have had, like, basic stuff, like, I'm chilling. What do you need? I'm good, but I mean, you know, we're here. We're about to go on stage. Oh, a little tequila shot. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's it. Oh, okay. A glass of red wine. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just at home. Like, at home, it's like with the kids. Let's pray before we eat. We're having a nice meal. I'm at home. Like, it was literally like, man, I love Vegas, but it's good to be home.
Yes.
And now you just like, oh, look, hey, kids, let's just watch this baking thing. There's some Japanese bakery thing. They're just making, you know, it's like ASMR. We're just here, literally. And it's like, wow, Chingo Bling, I thought maybe you'd need a limo and, like, backup dancers to feel happy. And it's nah, bro, just, it don't take a lot. It's just the people.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I think some of my happiest times are, like, in my bed with my kids, and we'll, like, have a movie night. So I have, like, a giant bed, and we, like, get snacks, and I'm like, pick a movie, let's do it. Like, their happiness makes me happy, right? I mean, you know,
it's simple.
You're a parent, yeah. I mean, and then two, sometimes it's just like being with some of my favorite people, and we don't even have to be doing anything crazy. Just
spending the time,
yeah. Because to me, like, time, if you give me your time and your energy, you can't get that back. So that means more to me than, like, an extravagant, like, breakfast or trip or, like, some crazy night out, right?
It's for the gram.
Yeah. I mean, sure, right?
Yeah, from time to time. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Facts. Yeah. You always have to get the gram, stay litty. You always have to get the good photos. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, how was your time? Because, you could have some amazing photos or be with Canelo at, like, some huge club with freaking bottles popping, but it doesn't mean you're
edited and, you know, in a very lit fashion.
Right. Yeah.
But were your feet hurting? You know what I'm saying? Right. How hard was it to get an Uber after?
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
did the food hurt your stomach? Yeah, you're sleepy.
Yeah. It's all those things that people don't think about. But yeah. Anyway, it's actually been like an hour.
Oh, cool. Okay.
It's gone by really fast.
Cool. Well, we'll start to land the plane here shortly.
We're now starting our descent.
We're at 35,000 feet.
So is there anything that you wanted maybe your fans to know or that you want to tell them?
Man, I've been doing stand-up 9 years. I'm going city to city. I love my job. I love meeting you guys after the show. And that's, like for example, somebody asked Canelo. They're like, man, when your first fight, you made $40, and now you're making these millions, and it's got to be different, right? And he was like, no. It ain't about the $40 or the $40 million. This mm-hmm. is what I do, and I love it.
Yeah.
And that's how I am about stand-up. Like, it don't matter if it's 33 people or 3,300 or 33,000. The energy is there. I appreciate just all the love. And please come to the show. If you have a good time, please tell a friend. And welcome to the Chingoverse. I mean, I might have to drop a mixtape or something called like the Chingoverse and make you it look should. All Matrixy.
Ooh.
So that might be cool.
I like it.
Like all simulation.
Yeah. I think we're in a simulation. Anyway.
Maybe, yeah.
That's a whole
simulation theory.
That's a whole
look
another,
into it.
That's like another hour. Yeah,
it's like a glitch in a matrix.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Oh man. Okay, we can talk. I like this. I like this energy. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much. How do people follow you?
Hit me up online. Facebook, Official Chingo Bling. Instagram, Real Chingo Bling. But I'm everywhere. I'm on TikTok, YouTube, wherever the fans are.
Yeah.
We're giving y'all. We're hooking y'all up with just a whole bunch of behind the scenes and everything else. So
yeah, cool. Well, and this will be on all streaming platforms, so YouTube, Apple, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
And check out my podcast too. I got a couple. So my wife and I will do Cafecito Time, where we just, it's like Regis and Kathy Lee or one of them daytime talk shows. And then I have one that's like about the world's headlines through a big homie's perspective. It's called Red Pill Tamales. So basically, we might touch on economics, things going on in the world.
Nice.
I mean, politics, but it's all like, you know, coming from your boy. It's nothing like, it ain't no, you know, no stuffy. I'm not gonna have a tie on.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just shooting the shit.
Yeah, cool. I like that. Sure. Yeah. So guys, make sure that you follow San Antonio people or where Houston, Dallas,
everywhere.
Wherever
we everywhere.
You are.
Singapore.
Yeah. Come to San Antonio next weekend.
Oh yeah, October 12th through the 15th. Yeah, yeah, Austin people, drive in. New Braunfels, yeah. Seguin, drive in, pull up.
Yeah, everywhere. Just fly in, drive in, boat, you know,
it's gonna
airplane,
be a movie.
Whatever you need to do, just come. It'll be great.
For sure.
Yeah. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
San Antonio, what it do? We out here.
Yes. All right. So, again, thanks to Valpa Media and Latina Podcast Network. And guys, stick with me to see what's next. Bye. Damn, that was the fastest clear. Oh, can I?